Today we're going to talk about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This verse, it's a very powerful verse. It's all started when Jesus started His ministry. When He started His ministry, He called the 12 disciples, and then he went to a few villages, made some miracles. Then there was a crowd following Him. And then as the crowd followed Him, He came about to a mountain. And on the mountain, He found a place, sat down, and began to preach to these multitudes. And the sermon that He preached on that mountain is called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon of the Mount was one of the most well-recorded sermons that Jesus has preached. And the sermons that He preached on that day were so powerful that up to today, it's one of still the best sermons to preach to people. Because these are words that were uttered from Jesus' lips. Words, insights from what heaven is all about. I'm going to preach from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But before that, we're going to start reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. If you have your Bibles, I trust that you have your Bibles. Have your Bibles at all times. Let's all turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. So reading from verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And here is a verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Why is this part so important? Because Jesus was going through the motions of what everyday human life is all about. But this is a point that He wanted to bring across to the people. He was going through about people worrying, going through about people stressing about things. But really, this whole passage, the point that Jesus wants to bring about is the last part where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You, God, for this time that we can come before You, God. Lord, even as Your word is spoken, God, Lord, I pray, God, that our hearts may be receptive to Your word, God. Lord, I pray that our minds, Lord, will be open to receive from You, Lord. And I pray, God, that today's revelation, God, will bring about a new anointing, God, to Your people, God. A new understanding, God, to Your people. And I pray, God, for You, God, to be in our midst today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we live in a world full of mixed priorities. We see lines being blurred. What is black nowadays can be white. What is white sometimes looks like black. Everything appears to be relative. We see God being pushed further and further into the corner. Once, we could freely preach the gospel in the streets and slowly over time. Somehow we are told not to preach our beliefs, or you lose your job. You lose your friends, you lose your family, you lose businesses. Slowly, over time, we are caged in more and more and more. To the point that some of us are even ashamed to preach the gospel. Some of us are ashamed to say the name Jesus in front of our friends. Now, when God is pushed further back, we see other things happening. We see other things taking priority over our lives. It may not even be something obvious like money. Sometimes it can be family. It can be education. It can be jobs. All good things, but we neglect the best thing. We have not put the best thing as our number one priority. Someone once said, I find joy in every day, not because life is always good, but because God is. When you truly prioritize God first, you will always find a smile, even when you're in a storm. Now, this passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, will begin to dig up and uncover powerful truths behind this verse. I pray that this verse will be a revelation to you and bring you to a whole new level in your Christian walk. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first. What does it mean to seek? In Greek, the word zeteo also means to strive for it. I like how the word seek is an active word. It's not something that is passive. It's an active word, to seek. Now, in order to seek, you've got to get your butts moving. You've got to move. There's a difference between wanting something and seeking something. A lot of us want something, but not many of us seek it. Does that make sense? A lot of us want to put God first, but not many of us seek to put God first. Some people, they want a life partner, but they don't seek for one. Huh? They just sit and wait, oh, someone's going to come to my door and just ask me. Some of us want a pay rise, but we do not seek for it. Some of us want to see God move in their family, but are not seeking for it. Some of us want a breakthrough, but are not seeking for it. Some of us want a miracle in our lives, but are not seeking for it. Now, if we do not seek it, how can we find it? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, 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 and you will find. Knock on the door and it will open to you. You know, there was a man who saw a crippled fox in the jungle one day. And he was looking at the crippled fox and he said, how can this crippled fox feed itself? It will die really, really soon. Then later he saw a tiger coming. And the tiger was carrying its prey in the mouth, chomping it. And after it was full, he just left the leftovers for the little fox. So the little fox had some food to eat. And the man thought to himself, wow, even God can provide for this little fox. It's crippled, but God still provides for the fox. You know, if God loves a fox, He loves me even more as well. So I'm going to go to my house. So he went to his house, locked the door, and waited there for heaven to open the door and feed him. Waited for manna to drop out from the ceiling. So he just waited and waited. He said, no, God is going to provide. God is going to give me the food. And he waited and waited and waited, and nothing happened. And then he waited and waited and waited, and he reached to a point where he was starving, he was almost dying, and an angel appeared. Now, the angel came to him and said, why did you decide to imitate the crippled fox? God has given you gifts and abilities to make a living. Get out of bed, pick up your tools, and follow the way of the tiger. My question to you today is, are you the crippled fox? Or are you the tiger? You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read about Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. One is already quite tough, huh? But two wives. Okay, two wives. Who are the wives? Hannah and Peninnah. Okay? Now, Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. But Elkanah loved Hannah more than Peninnah. So here we have two women. One with children, but without love from the husband. One with love from the husband, but without children. Sometimes it gets you to wonder, which shoes would you rather be in? But Peninnah was not satisfied with having children, okay? She was jealous. She was jealous of Hannah. So whenever Hannah would always go to the house of the Lord, okay? She would always go there. But whenever Hannah goes there, Peninnah would provoke her and will not stop until she's crying. And Hannah would cry so much until she would not eat. Elkanah, the husband, could not do anything. And one day, in verse 9, very powerfully, it says that Hannah decided enough was enough. It says, Hannah stood up. Hannah stood up. She stood up. She finally decided to take action. She decided to take a step. She decided it was time to do something different, something bold. It was not enough for her to go to the house of the Lord. It was not enough for her just to go to church. It was not enough just to be in the house of the Lord. It was not enough just to attend service. She needed to do something different, and she did. She went straight to the house of the Lord and started pouring her heart out. Notice this, that for years she would be going to the house of the Lord, but never was it recorded that she poured her heart out to God. And this was the first time she did something different. Instead of just attending church, instead of just being there, she was now connecting herself with God. She was now beginning to pour her heart out towards God. And what she did, she asked for a child. This time she seeked for it. She didn't just want it. All the while she desired it, she wanted it. But this time she seeked it. She took action upon it. Sometimes many of us can be like Hannah. We have come to church for weeks. We have come to church for months. We want so many things from God, but we have not seek it from God. We have not taken the extra step before God. Now, if we have been truly open to God, there'll be so many things that God can open up for us. We may have desired things, but we have yet to seek it from God. And we know that not long after that, God gave her a son. And the son was Samuel. And Samuel went on to be a great, 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 great prophet. He was also known as a judge, but he became a great prophet. He was the one who chose King Saul as the first king of Israel, established the whole land. And he also became the one who anointed David later on. So he was a great prophet. It was a very rich part of history that Samuel became part of. Someone once said, if you don't take a step forward, you will always remain at the same place. If we don't do something different today, you'll always be at the same place. Seek the kingdom of God. So we know that seek is to take action. It's not just wanting it in our hearts. Seeking the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? How do we seek it? The kingdom of God is where God is in charge. It is where God has full authority. It is where God has full control over your life. It's where you let God in the driver's seat and you take the back seat. To live in God's kingdom is to let God take full authority over your life. Now, in everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think, many times we say that God has full authority over our lives, but when God tells you to do something, you say, oh, someone else will do it. Or when God says you to go, you say later. We shift responsibilities or we procrastinate. And that's quite normal. So when I was younger, my teenage years, the one thing that annoys me the most, one thing that gets under my skin, and the one thing I couldn't stand is my parents nagging. Really gets to me. I can tolerate anything else. I can tolerate the cane. I can tolerate punishments. I'm pretty tough mentally and physically. In school, I used to get caned quite often. And that's okay. You can't sit for a week, but after a week, the swelling goes down. But it's okay. But nagging, I can't. It just gets to me. I don't know why, but it just gets to me. Sometimes, not even a minute later, they start to repeat their advice again, you know? Now, fast forward 15 years later. Now I'm a father. I would tell Isabel to go to bed, and 10 minutes later, she would still be watching TV. I have to tell her several times to go and before she actually does it. And because I get so annoyed with nagging, now I get annoyed with myself. And I can't help it. There's no other way. When we seek God's kingdom and allow total control over our lives, we should not procrastinate. When we are under His rulership, we let go of our bad habits and let go of our past because now we are in new territory. We have a new start. Our slate is wiped clean. Our records are wiped clean. We get a fresh start in His kingdom. When we live under God's authority, there's an obligation on our part to follow His commandments. You are only under His authority if you follow His word. If you are a citizen of a certain country, you obey their rules. Yes? Likewise, we are citizens of God's kingdom. There is a certain obligation on our part to obey His word. How many of us will truly let God lead us where He wants us to go? How much control do we actually give God? Or do we say to God, hey God, I give you total control on Sundays. You know, Sundays you can have all of me. I'll be here setting up the instrument. I'll be singing, playing the instrument, serving, ushering, doing all these things. Sunday is all for you. But when it comes to Monday to Saturday, God, please leave me alone. You know, it's Monday to Saturday, God, you know, I have my job, I have my studies, I have my family. God, leave me alone on that day. But Sunday, I'm all out for you. You know, how many of us really give full control to God? You know, when Jesus was walking on the way to Jerusalem, he said to one guy, "Follow me." But the guy said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead. Why don't you go preach the word of God?" Another one said, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to those who are at my house." And Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand on the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." There's no procrastination in God's kingdom. When God says go, we go. Now, when Jesus asks you to follow him, will you say, wait, God, let me make my millions in the outside world first before I come and serve you? Or do we say, God, wait, my kids are still young, let them grow a bit older. When I have time for myself, I'll serve you. A question for all of us to ponder: what really is the most important thing in life? How much control of life do we give God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Ezra Taft Benson once said, "When you put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives." Seek his kingdom. Be in where God is in full control over our lives. Also, seek his righteousness. What is righteousness? To be honest with you, I never knew the real meaning of righteousness. I always thought it was something to do with pure, something to do with holy. But what really is righteousness? I had this very vague understanding. But when I really went into what the actual meaning is, going into the Greek word, dikaiosune, it means to be in a state that is approved and accepted by God. So basically, being righteous is just basically doing what's right. Doing what's right before God. So to seek his righteousness is constantly to check ourselves if we are right before God. Are we in the state that is approved by God? Are we pleasing him in all the things that we do? Are the words that we say okay before him? Are we living rightly before him? Is the way I'm carrying out my relationship with my partner okay before God? The way I treat my family, my friends, my in-laws, are they pleasing to God? Are we constantly checking our actions? David famously once said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. If there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." You know, I love driving. I can drive for hours and hours nonstop. Once we were in the US, I drove from Las Vegas down to Anaheim, which was a 5-hour drive to where Disneyland was. And I drove without knowing, I drove the whole 5-hour journey without stopping. And because the kids were sleeping, my wife was sleeping, so I drove the whole 5-hour journey, no toilet stops, nothing. We drove all the way. And you know, sometimes when we drive, we may not be aware of all the road rules, huh? Especially when we go to different countries. We are not sure about all these other rules. I remember when I first migrated to Australia, one of my first parking fine was because my car was facing the wrong way. Really? I thought if you park in the parking lot and your car is in the proper parking lot, it should be fine. But it was facing the wrong way. That was my first time I've ever got a parking fine. But it's okay. There are different rules everywhere. We learn from fines. We learn from mistakes. Because there is a law. And there's people enforcing those laws. Because if there's no law, there'll be chaos. I'm still not too sure about facing the wrong way, how that will cause chaos. But there is a law. And the same goes with God. Our spiritual life, if left unchecked, can lead us to breaking God's law without even knowing it. Sometimes we may live our life, and if we don't check ourselves, we may be breaking God's law without even knowing it. It's important that we have someone to be accountable with, someone who can help you with your life rightly before God. Always check and doing what's right and acceptable before God. Sometimes we may not know all the scriptures in the Bible. We may not know everything about what the Word of God says. But there are people who do. There are people who do know. And that's why it's important for us to be accountable with them. If we are truly concerned about heaven and hell being real, then I think it's pretty important that we ensure our life is right before God. On the other side of it, to seek His righteousness isn't just about avoiding doing what's wrong. It is also important that we actively do what is right. Here is where many Christians fall short. Many of us avoid the big sins, but it isn't enough just to be on the safe side. We need to actively go out there and do what's right and pleasing before Him. It's not enough just to avoid sin. It's important for us to seek and find out what pleases God. Seek and find out what pleases Him in all that we do. It's important for us to go out and minister to lives. Important for us to be a blessing to others. Important for us to put a smile on someone else's face. Bring the good news to others. Lift someone's spirit up. It's not enough just to come to church on Sunday, but we have to be more than Sunday Christians. We have to be more than who we are today. We are supposed to be peacemakers, game changers, history makers. Seek His righteousness. Seek what is right and wrong. For us to know what is right and wrong, we need to seek His wisdom. Seek what pleases Him and what displeases God. Sometimes doing what is right before God can be challenging. Sometimes, in the eyes of the world, it may be wrong. Sometimes we are put in place that we have to make a tough decision between pleasing God and pleasing man. Because sometimes if we please God, we might lose our friends. We might lose our businesses. We might lose the people we love. Galatians 1 verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ." Once there was a man who found a little butterfly in a cocoon. So the butterfly was trying to come out of the cocoon. So there was a small opening at the end of the cocoon. So the butterfly tried to wiggle itself out, wiggle, wiggle, then stopped. And it couldn't go any further. Then the man thought, okay, maybe I'll give this butterfly some help. So he took a little scissors and snipped it really carefully around the cocoon and let the butterfly free. Now the butterfly, the body was swollen, but the wings were so shriveled. And he thought to himself, maybe over time, this butterfly will soon fly. But no. In fact, the butterfly crawled for the rest of its life. Now, in his act of kindness, he didn't realize that from the butterfly needs to squeeze through the cocoon hole. Because by squeezing through it, it pushes the fluid from the body into its wings. And when the fluid goes into the wings, that is when the wings expand. And that is when it could fly. Sometimes struggles are necessary. Sometimes we need them in our lives. Going through life with no obstacles would cripple us. It is okay to have tough times and tough choices. But in the end, making the right choice in pleasing God is the most important thing and the most rewarding thing. Don't always go for the easy way. Joshua, one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. Moses led these people into the wilderness, but Joshua was the one who brought the Israelites from the wilderness into the promised land. Now Joshua gathered them together and said, "We are going to conquer this land." So he brought them, crossed the river Jordan, conquered Jericho, and divided the land for the people, and won many, many battles against others who are trying to take over the land once again. And he managed to stand his ground and protect the Israelites. He was one of the greatest warriors. His actual name was actually Hosea. But Moses called him Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. Now Joshua is such a powerful name, because Joshua in Hebrew is actually Yeshua. And if you know what Yeshua is, that's actually Jesus. That's the original form of what Jesus' name was. So if you were to go back in time to where Jesus was, they'll be calling Yeshua. In Joshua chapter 24, after he settled the people in their land, one of his last acts recorded was when he gathered all the tribes, everyone, to a place called Shechem. And over there, he brought the people together and helped them to renew their covenant before God. Before he did that, he reminded them about God's goodness in Egypt, God's goodness in the wilderness, the battle of Jericho, all these things. He reminded them that the life that they have now was all because of God's plan. And at the end, he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom will you serve. If serving the Lord is undesirable to you, if serving the Lord is not what you want, then choose this day whom will you serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what all of you guys think, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua was saying. The whole Israelites came with there. I don't care if the whole Israelites forget about God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, being a Christian is not going to win you a lot of votes. It's not going to win you a popularity contest. Jesus already says that people will despise you and hate you because of me. The road to heaven, we already know that it's narrow. It's not wide. So we know that we're not never going to get the majority. But the majority never determines what's right and wrong. Stephen J. Lawson once said, if you please God, it doesn't matter who you displease. If you displease God, it does not matter who you please. Seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Sometimes we like to focus on the last part, huh? All these things shall be added to you. But we forget how hard it is to actually seek His kingdom first and to seek His righteousness. Now, what does all these things refer to? To look at this, you have to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, not about your body, or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So Jesus talked about not worrying about life, how long you'll live, your sickness, not worrying about what you'll eat or drink, how you'll survive, your body, how you look, or what shape you're in, clothes, how dignified you present yourself to others, your wants in life. I personally find it interesting that Jesus focused on clothing quite a lot here. He focused from verse 28 to 30, it's all about clothing. He said, why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field, how they grow, they do not labor and spin. I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. I find it interesting that Jesus not only knows what we need, but He knows what we want as well. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is our provider. It's important for us to realize that God not only provides what you need, but He also gives us more than we ask for. In Psalms 37 verse 4, it says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Little Johnny went to his mother and asked for a new bicycle. His mother decided that he should take a good look at himself and ask Jesus for a bicycle. He said, because we don't have money, go take a look at yourself and ask Jesus. Then he cried and cried and cried through his tantrum, so the mother sent him to his room. After his tantrum was gone, he took a piece of paper and wrote a letter to Jesus. He said, dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year and would appreciate a new bicycle. Your friend, Little Johnny. Now, Johnny knew that Jesus knew what kind of boy he was. So he ripped up the letter and decided to give it another try. Dear Jesus, I've been an okay boy this year, and I want a new bicycle. Yours truly, Little Johnny. Well, Little Johnny knew that he wasn't totally honest, so he ripped it up again and wrote another letter. Dear Jesus, I've thought about being a good boy this year. Can I have a new bicycle? Signed, Little Johnny. Johnny looked deep down in his heart. He crumpled the paper and he threw it away. He was so depressed about himself, he walked out and just walked aimlessly and found a Catholic church. So he went into a Catholic church, knelt down, wasn't quite sure what he was supposed to do kneeling down. So he stood up, was about to walk out the door, and he saw some little statues. In a flash, he took one of the statues and ran back home with one of the statues and hid it under the bed. And then he wrote this letter. Dear Jesus, I've broken most of the Ten Commandments, tore up my sister's Barbie doll, and lots more. I'm desperate. I've got your mama. If you ever want to see her again, give me a bike. Sign, you know who. If we depend on God, we do not have to worry about tomorrow, because in His hands, everything is taken care of. Amen? God's word is alive, and every promise recorded down in the Bible is active and will be fulfilled. And you know what? This is a promise from God, that if you seek first His kingdom, and if you seek first His righteousness, God will provide for you. God will provide for you. We will always be satisfied when we put God first in our lives. Do you remember David once said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down on green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yet, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As many of you know, I don't come from a rich family. But regardless of how little we had, we never lacked anything. Growing up, even with little, we learned that there's always room to give to others. There's always room to bless others. I witnessed God's divine protection, God's divine providence on our family. We never went hungry. We never got thirsty. We always had clothes to wear. In fact, He has blessed us today with far more than what we could have ever had. After high school, my parents could not afford to pay my university fees. So I went to uni, but I had to work part-time. I worked part-time to pay off my uni. I was studying full-time, working 30 hours a week, and running the youth ministry and serving with various other ministries on Sundays as well. Most of you have seen me at that time. Sometimes I would come to church in my uniform because after Sunday I have to go back to work. I had to work to pay off for a lot of my studies. Now, after university, I didn't get a deposit from my parents for a house or a car. I worked and I saved up until I could afford one. I worked hard and was given multiple opportunities at work to where I am today. In the eyes of the world, I am what they call a self-made man. But the truth is, God was watching over me this whole time. Their education, the job, the house, the car, my family, they were all opportunities and blessings from God. All the way from young up to where I am now, because I continued to serve Him. I continued to put Him first, regardless of how hard things were. Regardless of how many hours I had to spend at work, how many hours I had to spend at studying, how many hours I had to spend at uni, I never put God aside. Serving Him first was my main priority. If there was anything I had to cut off, I would be cutting off my work because God was my main priority. Every week, we would come and serve God. And when I realized that when I put Him first, looking back, that was the best decision that I've ever made. Putting Him first in my life is the reason why I am here today. One thing I've learned that is my most reliable source, my most reliable person in life is God. Most reliable providence comes from God. Your jobs and work, they won't last. One day they can be here, one day they can go. Your friends, they can abandon you. Businesses, they can fail. Family can disappoint you. Teachers can fail you. But God is the one that holds everything together.
In him is where my peace lies. As long as I have him, it doesn't matter if everything else fails. Because I know I will be okay. Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider. I like this quote where it says, you don't have to remind God to provide for you. You have to remind yourself that God is your provider. You don't have to remind God to provide for you. You have to remind yourself that God is your provider.